Whether you're a duck or whether you're a beaver, your fantasy team needs a new receiver. It's Danny and Dusty at lunchtime every day. Maybe you're a tortured fan of Rip City. Danny and Dusty are here to take pity, hoping there's not a center with bad knees on the way. Talking noon till 3, Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Yep, I'm singing again, 'cause they haven't said I can't. Danny and Dusty love the teams the rest of us revile. Raising a Blazers banner would make it all worthwhile. Noon till 3,
an Odyssey station.
Hour number 3 here on a Thursday afternoon, which means it's time for us to make our picks. And whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AMTheFan, or Twitch.tv/1080AMTheFan, we appreciate you. We love you. But it's that time, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
No Jeff Frost, but we have his picks from last week. And
he was red hot.
Jeff Frost.
3-1 Russ.
He now leads the pack at 8-4.
All right. Way to go, Rusty.
Dusty and I both tied at 6-6. We both sucked last
week. Yeah, it was 1-3 week. It was not good, Bob.
Not great. Well, normally we'd give the nod to Rust here, but yep. Rust is not here. So,
well, we can give him his picks.
Oh, true. We do have his picks. You want to make his picks for him?
I'll just give you Jeff Rust's picks. He went 3-1 last week.
He did.
He did fantastic. His only loss was he had the Patriots covering against the Jets, which that's a fool's choice right there. He has the Pittsburgh Steelers -1.5 at Indianapolis as his first pick. Philadelphia, he's going to take the Buccaneers at home +1.5.
It's an interesting line.
It's sneaky. Mm-hmm. It's sneaky line there. Buccaneers. Bucky Irving apparently dinged up a little bit. We'll see how he goes. He has a road favorite, the Kansas City Chiefs, -7 at the Chargers, which everybody's hurt there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jacksonville, his Jaguars, which he does a pick every week. He's taking Houston -6.5 at home.
Which is interesting because Houston's reporting quite a few injuries.
Including
Nico Collins, who just got put on a limited participant because of a hamstring.
A desperate Jags team.
Yeah, Hugo 0-4. Yikes, dog.
Everybody fired there.
All right,
there's Russ picks.
All right, well, let's start with yours then. What do you got?
All right, my first pick, I will go... I didn't have it up because I was having to send.
No.
Okay, I got it.
You got it?
Yep. Bengals -4.5 at Carolina.
Indeed.
They got a bump with Andy Dalton, the Red Rifle, last week taking on your Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, you almost said Oakland.
Oh, I did almost say Oakland.
So
but
yeah, I still almost say L.A. So
you want to have a desperate team. Cincy is desperate right now.
Oh, God, yeah.
They are going to try to send a message. Things started to look right and normal with Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow.
Offense is purring.
I think that the Panthers offense ain't going to purr for a second straight week. Give me Cincy.
Yep. No, sir. Hey, sir, purr, not going to matter. I'm also going to tell you on that same line, I think that might be the safest line in the NFL this week. The Bengals -4.5 on the road at the Panthers.
Oh, all right.
I think it's the only one we have that's the same, I think. No, we have one other. We have one other to see.
We have one other?
Yeah.
All right, my second pick, I'm going the Arizona Cardinals -3.5 at home against the Commanders.
I almost went the other way on that one.
I like, and I've been saying this, I'm picking up what the Cardinals are putting down. Even though they are just 1-2, their two losses are to the Bills and the Lions. And they've been in both of those games.
Really good game. Really good teams.
Yeah, and they've been in them near the end. Marvin Harrison Jr. is starting to wake up. I'm gonna stick with the Cards. I'm gonna ride with the Cards in this one against the Washington Commanders, which are not complete. And Jaden Daniels has been playing really damn well.
Mm-hmm.
Really damn well.
Austin Eckler out with a concussion. You should say Austin Eckler out, and you can just kind of stop there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with the Bears -3 taking on the Rams. The Rams have no one.
Ran it.
No one.
They won't. They didn't have anyone last week either.
Well, apparently, neither did the 49ers. I think Caleb Williams and the Bears are starting to figure some stuff out. Caleb Williams himself is starting to figure some stuff out. They're still not on the same page all the time. But defensively, they're real good. And offensively, they're starting to find it. And I just don't think you can ask Matthew Stafford to work miracles every single week.
Yep. All right. My third game I got the Vikings +3 in Green Bay against the Packers. Okay. Malik Willis looked amazing for Malik Willis against the Tennessee Titans. What has Brock Purdy and C.J. Stroud both said when they got done with their games playing against the Minnesota Vikings?
They had our head in knots.
Okay. I don't care if Jordan Love comes back. If he's limited with an MCL sprain that he suffered a couple of weeks ago, he is going to have fits because of the Vikings defense. If it's Malik Willis, I don't know if they score. I'm going to go with Minnesota plus three on the road as a favorite. They're road dogs.
Yeah.
Road dog. Yes.
This is the other pick that I am going to match you on. The Vikings plus three felt like the second best pick of the week for basically everything you just mentioned. The Vikings are dinged up a little bit, but they have their quarterback. And Sam Darnold has been dealing.
Yep.
What'd you get for your last pick?
I'm going over 42 points, Falcons, Saints. I mean, we've had two games where New Orleans has scored
a bajillion.
40 or more points. Yeah. And I'm not entirely sold on the Falcons defense. So I am going to go with a points of palooza. We saw points again in the NFL
42
this past week.
42 seems like a low number for this matchup. It really does.
It really does.
The other game you had.
I think it's being brought down because this past week. New Orleans played an actual defense, not the Dallas Cowboys. They played the Philadelphia Eagles and only scored 12. I'm going to trust the process. I'm trusting the process.
I think the over hits here pretty simply because you just kind of look at where things are at. The game you originally went with was what? The Patriots game?
Yeah, and it
was it under 40?
40 and a half, but I just don't know who's going to play in that game.
Yeah.
That's scary to me because... I could see San Francisco scoring like 50
by themselves.
Yeah, and just hitting on their own. But I could also see the Patriots defense playing a banged up San Francisco offense and slowing them down, and that game being like 3-0.
It'll be ugly. And, you know, Lynch and Shanahan are just going to want to get out there healthy with a win.
Yep.
It's not about style points.
Yeah.
My last pick. The Bills.
Oh.
Maybe the best team in football this year.
Buffalo.
Or road dogs, plus 2.5. At the Ravens. How? It's not one of those things where you're like, well, the weather might be bad. The Bills are... there are two teams in the NFL that are built around playing in bad weather. It is the Green Bay Packers, and it is the Buffalo Bills. There's no like, well, they might have to travel and play somewhere rough or tough weather. There's nobody else is more built for this as franchises than those two teams. So the idea that the Bills on the road are going to be road dogs against a Ravens team that has not looked great is pretty surprising.
I don't know.
I looked at the injury report and I went, huh.
They lost, you know, Bernard, the starting linebacker. Uh-huh. So you have more attrition at linebacker. You start, you lose a tackle in Grable, Tylan Grable.
Sure.
You lost a corner in Taron Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I still don't know why, because the name I didn't say was Josh Allen.
His arm didn't fall off. His legs still work.
Yeah, I don't know. That's too stinky of a line for me, though. Deion Dawkins still playing.
But if you're giving me
it
the
stinks.
Bills, listen.
It stinks.
If you're giving me the Bills and any points against any team not named the Chiefs, I'm taking it.
That tells me Las Vegas, Nevada.
They know something.
They know something's up here. And
but
I don't like it.
So on a lot of these stinky lines early in the season, Vegas has had to eat their shorts.
Yeah. Well, they've been crushing everybody betting the big
lines. The big favorites, yeah.
Because underdogs in 6.5-point lines
covering,
or more,
baby,
are like 14-2.
Mm-hmm.
Or 11-2? 11-2 so far.
Yeah, I refuse to go anywhere near. Last year, we had those big lines that became like, oh, yeah, no, these are kind of gimmies.
Yeah.
This year, I'm going nowhere near them.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't trust it. I don't trust it, but... I'm with you on that. It seems like a no-brainer of a line to take,
it's
but I just didn't. I didn't trust it.
I'm the big mouth bass that's going to hit that bait. Looks too tasty. That power bait, you know.
I'm going to eat it.
I'm going to eat it. That's our picks for this week. Stone cold lead pipe locks.
Hopefully better than last week.
Hopefully. I mean, you almost can't mathematically do worse. Come in next, we're going to do a little bit of a hot route because Memphis's AD got up and got spicy about a potential move to the Pac-12 and why it fell apart. That and more coming up next year on Danny and Dusty, 10A The Fan. Boom, 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 boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom. This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
It's going to be a rough couple of days for the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Just recently, as we were heading to our last break, I should say the break before last, Memphis's AD was holding a press conference, and he may have added the people's elbow to the everybody else currently kicking the crap out of the Pac-12 and what they're doing and or not doing.
Yeah, Memphis AD Ed Scott did not hold back, and this was to a message for the fans, right? Because I think we need to give a little background on what's going on with all these schools around the country that have either rebuffed the Pac-12 or like UNLV, where there is a section of their fan base that was pretty upset that they didn't jump on the opportunity to go to the Pac-12 and instead opted to stay in the Mountain West for $25 to $30 million. And it is... For UNLV, it's leverage in knowing you have a place to go, no matter, full stop. Like, if the Mountain West survives, you get a lion's share of the money that conference will generate moving forward. That's a good thing for you. If you are, the Pac-12 is never going to get Power 5 status again. The Power Conference status is gone for the Pac-12.
That seat at the table, they took that chair and they put it in the wood chipper.
Because the autonomous four are now the Big Ten, SEC, ACC, and Big 12. Mm-hmm. That's not going to change unless the ACC dissolves. And then all of a sudden, the Big Ten, Big 12, and SEC get more powerful.
This is the power vacuum we're talking about. And who's going to soak up that space? And it's always going to be them.
Yeah. So the UNLV is going, fine, we'll be the king of the kids table then. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go ahead and we'll stay in the Mountain
West.
We'll
find the biggest kids table.
And basically, we'll get more money than anybody else instead of sharing it equally. Memphis, in their fan base, like, why wouldn't you do this? Because it's more money than you'd be getting from the American Athletic Conference. And so he's having to step forward and say, well, let's pump the brakes on whether or not this is actually a good deal or not for us.
A lot of folks, and some of you in the media, candidly, want us to go to be great, and sometimes you got to be great to go, right? And so when I hear people say, I'm not going to buy tickets, I'm not going to support the programs, you're not really hurting me. You're hurting the student athletes, right? And you're hurting the people that are on the field playing. And that's really, really important for me. So where does this go? If y'all haven't seen the latest reports of what's going on between the Mountain West and the Pac 6-7 right now, this is a fluid situation, right? So that's the other thing. When we talk about the decision that was made by the University of Memphis to not join the pack, as I like to call them right now at this time, that was not a binary decision. That was not a no, we're not ever going anywhere. That was based on the offer that was presented in front of us, that we're not taking that offer because we don't think less of ourselves. And I came here for a reason. You heard me in the press conference. You've heard me in any interview I've done. I'm bullish on Memphis's future. And so I think sometimes we get enamored by the new and we want to take a bad deal. And that deal was not a good deal for the University of Memphis. It certainly wasn't a good deal for our athletic department. And most importantly, it was a really, really bad deal for our Olympic sport.
Wow. So number one, he said it was a bad deal, which means I would imagine he's talking about financially.
Yep.
That last line, it being a bad deal for their Olympic sports.
That's exactly what I said. It didn't make sense about Memphis and Tulane in the first place.
A lot of travel.
Because they would have to be coming out to the West Coast all the time.
All the time. They'd have one trip that was close between each other. That's it.
It never made sense.
No, this is Cal Stanford in the ACC with significantly less money.
Yeah. I mean, it just did not it didn't calculate, it didn't compute, and you heard him right there say it was a bad deal. I mean, he just said it's a bad deal. It's not worth it to take a nominal gain in your finances if you're Memphis and say
we're going to
go ahead and have all of our sports play this. It just doesn't make sense. And this is also Memphis signaling that maybe the Pac-12 isn't the only conference that's kicking the tires on them. You know, maybe the Big 12 is. Maybe the ACC, which is easier travel for Memphis than coming out west, is exploring them as an opportunity if they lose their lawsuits as well to Florida State and Clemson, and they need to backfill their universities. They would do it with Memphis because there's a reason why the Pac-12 was bullish on Memphis, is because they knew it was the biggest brand of the ones that are remaining. Mm-hmm. And so you go and you try to say, all right, well, shoot, instead of taking a seat at the Pac-12's table, which is a non-power conference, maybe we take a seat at the ACC's, which if they only lose Clemson and Florida State, mm-hmm. doubtful. But if they only lose, they still keep their power status because they would have North Carolina, Duke, Virginia, mm-hmm. Miami still on board. So I also, again, doubtful that that would happen. But at the same token,
it's the same thing that UNLV is doing, which is there's no reason for you to go anywhere. You're wanted by multiple parties. Post up and chill and take the best possible deal.
Every other school in that conference in the ACC would not be taken by the Big Ten or the SEC. No. And so if you're going to have a lesser value than what the Big Ten and the SEC are getting, well, in the Big 12, well, then you go and you join the ACC where it's more regionalized and it's closer to you. And you still would get the bump that you're not getting from the American. That all kind of makes sense. It all kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. And it's why Memphis didn't jump to the Pack. And the shot that he took at, have you all seen what's going on between the Mountain West and the Pack?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good spot. He started that with mm-hmm. like, it felt like it was like, they didn't give us any reason to be going.
No.
Whatsoever.
Which, again,
this is the big confusion about
holy crap, Pac-12.
Which is, why did you announce that you were taking those four schools when you did, if you didn't have the others lined up and locked, not just lined up, but signed, sealed, and delivered?
Keep it quiet, move in the shadows, then pounce.
Like every other conference that has survived has done, like the Big Ten did to the Pac-12, like the Big 12 did to the Pac-12.
Where you had schools in your own conference who were like, no, we're committed. Meanwhile, they were already committed somewhere else.
Yeah.
This is Game of Thrones, and you know what the Pac-12 is? It's the Stark family.
Oh. Yeah.
Just belligerent of what's actually going on.
They kind of win at the end, though.
Do they? I feel like everyone loses in the end.
Well, Bran gets to be king.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
here we go.
Crippled.
He's
a Stark.
Oh, boy.
So now Washington State or Oregon State wins a championship, but they're in a 7-team league.
Yeah.
Same thing. Life imitates art.
Mm. And they're crippled.
Who's the zombie?
I'm not going. One thing I do know is that the Big Ten and the SEC are Thanos. And
there you
they
go.
Just said.
They just snapped their fingers and said, see ya.
Half of you dead.
There you go. I like it. I want to go dealer's choice here. You want to go college football? Or you want to go that turd burger of a Thursday night game?
College football?
All right, let's get some college football coming up next year. But first, here's Big Will Betts, the Sports Zone Update.
For the sunshine sky, there's a reason.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
All right, let's talk a little bit of college football because Lord knows that Thursday night game is no one but just the truest of sickos interested in. It's kind of funny, you know, a New York and Dallas matchup with big major markets, and boy, is that going to be nasty.
Well, there's intrigue because this is
everybody
like
loves a good train wreck.
The biggest panic meter week 4 game of all time.
And it's not for the Giants, it's panic for the Cowboys.
I think it could be for the Giants too. If the Cowboys like finally find their stride and they play functionally, the Giants get blown out, the world will fall. Brian Daboll's the worst coach ever. Daniel Jones will need to take a raft up the East River, and their world crumbles. If the Cowboys lose this game to Daniel Jones and the New York Giants, it's going to be theater to watch Twitter meltdown. And I'm here for all of it.
That's fair.
I mean, outside of that, not a game that really gets me going between the Giants and the Cowboys, but it'll get a huge number because it's the Giants and the Cowboys. It's the NFC East, man. College football is way more interesting this week.
Look, there's the big matchup, which we'll get to in just a second, which is Georgia-Alabama. That's the top five matchup. That's the matchup of the weekend. But you have one, what is it? I think it's five? It's one, two, three, four, five top 25 matchups.
So not all top 25 matchups are created equally.
No, but again, I'm saying you have 20 of the top 25 playing each other.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a hell of a college football slate.
It's a great weekend in college football in that regard. And then you have some intriguing matchups, too, that are non-top 25 games. Like, I think a lot of people are sleeping on Central Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Gus Malzahn and crew, they have been running the hell out of the ball. Have you seen what they do to teams? They're rushing for like 375 yards a game.
They look at their service academy.
And all they do is just pound the rock. They got the transfer quarterback from Arkansas who...
He's so much fun.
He is a load.
So much fun. KJ Jefferson.
And by the way, Colorado, they got on the edges by Baylor's quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we have everybody has their eye on Colorado. Deion Jr. even said, you know, when people were complaining, how's Colorado not even receiving votes for the top 25? He tweeted out, we shouldn't. Which is fair.
Mm-hmm.
Dose of honesty out of Colorado and Sanders. But there are some intriguing games like the Oklahoma State-Kansas State game, which Kansas State-BYU was the weirdest football game I've ever seen. Like, Kansas State looked like they were in control, and then like 2 minutes before halftime, they get a turnover, BYU scores.
Mm-hmm.
Coming out of the half, they turn the ball over again, BYU short field scores. They look like they're getting a little bit of momentum. They have to punt the ball away. Some white dude for BYU returns a punt for a touchdown, pukes on the sideline because he ran probably 150 yards
mm-hmm.
because he caught the ball on the right side of the field, went all the way back almost into his own end zone, and goes up the left sideline for a touchdown, and then he was all hopped up on Mountain Dew. He threw up.
Caffeine?
It does. Mm. It does. It does.
It's difficult.
Yeah.
Do we mention a five-layer burrito here?
No. Yeah.
Liv Moss.
That's Saturday night. He put it in the freezer.
Oh, boy.
Hey, at least he's not doing Florida State guy.
Yeah, no.
He needs to do that before the game, though, right?
Yeah, I think that's the deal.
I mean, before you take on number 20 Oklahoma State, you got to do it. Yeah.
Look, if you're eating your lunch, I'm sorry. We're past that period of time. The grace period has ended. A guy tweeted out, a Kansas State fan, that if they lose to BYU, he will stick a Taco Bell beefy five-layer burrito up his butt.
Yep. And he was going through it. His Twitter feed was must follow during that BYU Kansas State game.
BYU's Twitter feed after the game just said Liv Moss.
Yeah.
Great tweet. And that's probably the least expected account to make that tweet.
Yeah.
No, they have.
There's some fun. Some fun is being had.
That is the most BYU thing of all time.
Like, I mean, they do. Oh,
they are on the edge. Like, they're always
they own Taco
edging.
Bell? Doesn't the Mormon Church own Pepsi and Taco Bell?
I didn't know that.
I think a lot of them own Pepsi distributors. I'm not sure about Taco Bell.
Okay.
Wouldn't surprise me, though.
I could have swore they had an investment there.
Wouldn't surprise me. But Oklahoma State saw their shine come off them last weekend with Utah running a Wilson brother out there and beating the Cowboys in Stillwater without Cam Rising. That was impressive for Utah to get that win. And the most surprising thing about this is Ollie Gordon hasn't been impressive this year. Has anybody checked in on Ollie Gordon?
He's been bad.
Ollie Gordon has been very, very average.
Interestingly enough, him, Donovan Edwards, and Damian Martinez, three of the probably best backs in the country coming in this season, have all been pretty quiet.
He has one 100-yard rushing game this season. And it was against South Dakota State, week one.
Which, again,
like,
good little program, but...
Yeah, but remember, that's the game he was supposed to be suspended for.
Yeah.
Mike Gundy said, we're gonna make a play against San Diego State for that DUI.
Oops.
Or, I mean, South Dakota State.
Yeah.
Well, he carried the ball for 28 times in that game.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't gotten over 17 touches in any of the other games. The other three, he's not... he's only averaging right around like 3 yards a carry outside of that opener in the last three games. And Utah did a great job bottling him up. So you have both Oklahoma State and Kansas State trying to figure some stuff out. You got Louisville and Notre Dame, a top 25 matchup, where Tyler Shuck, former Duck quarterback who transferred from Texas Tech, he's been playing really well, very efficient for Louisville this year. They're 3-0, but they have to go on the road to South Bend, and Notre Dame has a quarterback that cannot throw the ball. I've been trying to tell people this. Like, Riley Leonard is fun to watch, mm-hmm. and he's a wrecking ball to run.
But he's not a quarterback.
He can't throw the football.
No. He can throw the ball slightly better than Alex Orji, which is not saying much.
That's not saying much at all.
No.
Not saying much at all. But the other games of this weekend outside of top 25 and outside of obviously Georgia and Bama, mm-hmm. which is crazy, riveting football there. Washington State goes on the road. They take on Boise State.
That's a big time matchup because Boise State has to win that game.
I would love to see Washington State go undefeated this mm-hmm. year. Just for the chaos grenade of what it would do to the college football playoff, because it's like, Pac-12 is not recognized as a conference, so they would need to have a true at-large bid, and so they the group of five team would still get in, and it would be like, I dare you to leave Washington State out of a 12-team playoff mm-hmm. if they go undefeated. I mean, we're only four games into the season, but it would be the best chaos grenade in all of college football and to see them get left behind and have that happen.
They're like an NCAA tournament team when you look at them, you're like, yeah, they're good, but like they're not great. But also, do you want to play them? The answer is no.
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 Nobody wants to play
Georgia. You do not want to play Washington State. Because
if you're talking about like they would go on the road as a 12 seed to the fifth ranked team and they'd go to like Texas or Georgia or Alabama, they would get mopped.
Yes, but if they get in one of those weird spots where that number five team is, I don't know, God.
I mean, it'll be the best team out of the SEC.
Second best, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
the team that didn't win the conference championship is going to be there.
Could be Tennessee, it could be Ole Miss. Like, yeah. It could be a team a little bit less tested, as great as they are, mm-hmm. that maybe they slip up. Like, I'm not saying it's a like likely scenario. I'm saying,
I just want the story of them making the field.
It would be spicy.
I'd want them to do it. But you look at their schedule this week, next week, and then Oregon State.
And then run it.
That's what they have in front of them. Because there's a lot of doo-doo teams in the Mountain West that they have on the schedule. But like, that's not to say Washington State can't stub their toe. We've seen this. This story before, yes. In the Palouse.
That's kind of what they do.
But I want them to do it.
And then you have Ole Miss taking on Kentucky, taking on their first real challenge of the season. Let's see how for real Ole Miss is.
They are very real.
And it's going to be interesting just to see how real.
They are 17-point favorites, and they probably win by 11-D.
Which is, I think, goes to tell you how strong that team is.
Yep.
And now let's get to the Georgia-Alabama game.
I love this game.
This is a game where I think a lot of people are dismissing Alabama because of Nick Saban and because Caleb Downs, you know, one of the top DBs in the country, transfers to Ohio State, and you're worried about the secondary and all those kind of things. This Alabama team is early Nick Saban Alabama, where they have a quarterback who can make plays, but they are meant to maul. That offensive line might be the best in the country, and they absolutely annihilate fronts.
I'm really interested to see this matchup because of the fact that injury bugs kind of bit Georgia,
mm-hmm.
losing, you know, back end defender, losing a guard,
the best guard in the country, and Tate Relidge.
So you, and then Carson Beck too has a sprained AC joint.
Is non-throwing shoulder,
yeah, which is okay.
It's a matter of how effective is the tee shot.
He'll be fine.
Yeah.
But this game, it's the first time that Bama has been a home dog since 2007. Nick Saban's first year.
Yeah, and it was against LSU.
Oh, that was a good LSU team. Mm. Yeah.
LSU won 41-34.
But you have Alabama does have all the makings of a team that can give Georgia problems, because Georgia is still elite on both sides of the football, but they have taken a depth hit in their defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And depth hit on the defensive line, because of what you just said about Alabama being able to maul you up front. It will be, all right, how big was that hit? We're going to find out this week.
Yeah, they don't have Javon Carter coming off the bench anymore.
Also, you look at, where's Alabama weak? like, where is the weakness of Alabama? It's in the back end where they have new pieces, mm-hmm. right? Georgia, in their receiving corps, I like Carson Beck. Their mm-hmm. receiving corps has not been as good as it has been in years past either.
No. And there's no Ladd McConkey out there. There's no Brock Bowers.
Well, when you have to kick off your best receiver at the beginning of the year, probably taking a hit mm-hmm. at the wide receiver position. So you have, you know, strength on weakness. It's not as overwhelming as it has been in years past for Georgia.
It's not strength on strength anymore where it's like...
I think Bama gets them.
It's not impossible by any means.
No.
By any means.
Because Kalen DeBoer is a damn good coach. I love what Kirby Smart said about Nick Saban, too, this week, because it was so on par for Kirby Smart in the little pot shots that he takes on the edge.
Out strain, out effort, win the line of scrimmages, and don't turn the ball over. I mean, those are all things that you could say every game, and that's not going to be any different in this game.
We've all asked questions, and we're going to keep asking questions about going to Tuscaloosa, and Nick Saban is not the head coach there. How different of an experience, or will it be a different experience for you?
I don't think so. Apparently, he'll still be there from what I hear with game day and everything. But I don't think that changes anything. They got a really good football team. They're very well coached. They're very sound in all their schemes. That hasn't changed. And good football players are going to determine this outcome, not coaches.
That would be a hell of a thing, though, if college game day is there and Nick Saban is still roaming the sidelines. Like, if he's on the sidelines mm-hmm. for that game just watching, and if weird. Georgia does win... You'll get like the Chip Kelly game one against Boise State where Mike Bellotti was the AD just standing on the sidelines kind of leering over and everybody's like, the old coach is still there watching.
Tapping him on the shoulder because he's going to put on a headset.
He's the one that could get it done.
He's got to go into his like suite, right? Like if I'm DeBoer, I almost
demand he not be there.
You do not allow him his sideline
You are
pass.
Not allowed on the sideline. Well, that's... You can't have the guy who was there before. That's like Jay Leno hanging out at 10 o'clock and Conan's on at 11.
But you know what? If Nick Saban wants to be on the sideline, Nick Saban will be on the sideline.
And it is an important thing because they are playing at Bryant-Denny and they're not playing between the hedges. What's interesting is the markets have Georgia by 2.5. ESPN's analytics, their matchup predictor, has a 70-30 in favor of Alabama. That's pretty staggering.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. Like, so it's just looking at the statistical analysis?
They're looking at all the analytics, yeah. The EPA, everything else that kind of feeds into it, which, you know, those are the same models that drive a lot of the markets.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, college football is also run by, like, did the backup corner's girlfriend break up with him, and is he going to get burnt?
Which they may have information on. Somebody in that Georgia secondary might be going through it right now. They might be trying to make the – what's the young man's equivalent of a mixtape?
What?
Yeah, see, that's what I mean, yeah. It's what you used to
mix
do.
What do they it's do? Like, do they, like when splice in on TikTok. Is that what it is?
Basically, yeah. You put like black and white filter, you in the gym working out to insert sad like techno song.
No, that's
and
guy.
Then it says,
no, that's not. A mixtape, you're missing. You don't know what a mixtape is.
She hurt me. No, a mixtape you make is like if you like someone, you get all your best music, all
no,
your best songs.
No, it's just
your
jams,
you
yeah. Sometimes you had to record it off the radio. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With like a VH1
you're thinking
or
like
something.
A guy who just got dumped.
Well, yeah, you just
well, I was saying, like, what's it look like? What's the breakup mixtape look like now?
Oh, the breakup mixtape.
Sad TikTok reel, you in the gym.
Right.
Black and white filter, you've got some sort of techno thing going, and then you've got like the caption of like,
dang.
She broke me, or she doesn't know what she's missing.
Why are there three videos of you in black and white working out on your Instagram, Will?
good luck with that. At Will Ortner, head on over there. Feel free. There ain't one on there. You've never seen it, and you never will.
Because he can't date anyone.
Or get
maybe
500 yards of a... Wait, what? Oh, I'm sorry. All right, that's it for a little college football. We'll wrap up today's show with a little bit more NBA news and some news about your Portland Trailblazers. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
Wrapping up today's show, a quick little note on some NBA news. We had talked, obviously, about Zach Lowe being let go of ESPN. There's also some big-time basketball news as it pertains to the NBA at large, as former MVP Derrick Rose has decided to hang it up in the NBA, retiring.
That's big news?
I think that's big news.
We're big news. That Derrick Rose is retiring, big news?
I mean, a former MVP is retiring. He asked for a buyout from a team that didn't want the money.
Yeah.
That's I think it's pretty big news.
But this is like
big enough for the end of the show.
Slowest, there we go.
There you go.
This is the slowest car going off the cliff of all time. It was like a decade ago he said he wanted to be able to walk his kids down the graduation aisle,
which was
a weird thing. Yeah. He didn't say wedding aisle.
Which is weird because,
Derrick Rose watch his kids graduate.
Probably didn't legally graduate.
Dang, that's tough. Well, we do know at Memphis he didn't legally take his SATs.
Ding, 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 ding. That's the minor note here.
His comeback was pretty fun, though.
It was. I mean, it's unfortunate, obviously, what happened and what the change meant for his career, because he would have been an all-timer. But,
And his nickname in Chicago as the Windy City Assassin.
Mm-hmm. Great name.
That's badass. Great name. That's a great nickname.
Great name. More importantly, as it pertains to the Portland Trailblazers, the Trailblazers announced earlier that they, in this season where they're honoring the life of Bill Walton, they will have a tie-dye 32 patch on their jerseys all season long.
That's a great nod. Dr. Jack got the plaid patch. Bill Walton gets the tie-dye.
Yep.
I'm here for it.
And then March 9th, which is against the Detroit Pistons, which the reason they're doing that is because Luke Walton is assistant coach for the Pistons, so he'll be in town for the tribute, will be a Bill Walton appreciation honoring night where all fans are encouraged to wear tie-dye, and he'll be giving away tie-dyed headbands.
Sweet. Yes.
Leaning into it fully for Big Red.
And if Luke was like his dad, he would wear it coaching from the bench.
I bet you Luke Walton will wear tie-dye from the bench.
I like that.
I would be stunned if he didn't.
That'd be the most Walton move of all time.
Also, a little bit more Trailblazers news. I hinted at this a couple weeks ago.
These are newsy.
Yes, the Portland Trailblazers have made a bunch of hires and changes, and particularly as it pertains to their H&P, their health and physio staff. Long and short of it is, they've had a bunch of groin/core injuries over the last couple of years that were really inexplicable and unexplainable.
And they said
they just had to make a change because no matter what was happening, this couldn't continue to be what it was. So they've made a bunch of changes there, as well as in their analytics department as well. So there you go.
Hopefully no more core injuries.
God, I hope not.
We don't need any more core injuries. All right, that does it for us on this Thursday. We'll see you on a Football Friday from noon to 3 up next.
Well, I will.
Oh, yeah, I'm not here. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, it's a turd's day because you're gone tomorrow, turd.
Yeah. I'm going down to L.A.
Mm.
I'm going down to L.A.
Weather be better down there.
Oregon, UCLA.
Hey,
I'll
UCLA
be there.
In L.A. Hey, do me a favor.
In L.A.
Go check out the baseball field. Tell me what it looks like.
I'll go to Brentwood.
Yeah.
I'll go to the Brentwood.
See what's going on over there.
Maybe I'll break into the Brentwood school, too. All right. I'll see you Monday. Up next, 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's primetime with Isaac Souk on The Fan.
Bye.